Our season speaks of abundance. And no, this is not the first in a series on stewardship. Our season is getting ready to change officially to autumn. You may have noticed a few cooler days and nights. You may have noticed leaves with colorful margins or pumpkins on the tables at farm stands. Even the squirrels are in on it. Outside my study window, I watch their acrobatics in the dogwood tree as they are after the now red ripe berries. Oak trees are raining acorns that crunch underfoot as I walk my dog in the park. The air has a certain fragrance that speaks of an acknowledgement of harvest and simultaneously of a farewell to our summer. A message of change is in the air. I'd like to share of abundance in our readings today. The first is illustrated in God's generosity to the Hebrew people in the desert. The grumbling and complaining people of God are worried that they may starve in the desert, that they would have been better off enslaved in Egypt. At least they would be fed, they claim. I link this desert experience to the words of our Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, each day, just for this day. It speaks to me for the abundance of God's presence, present in each moment of my life, and the need for our reliance on God. Yet I am also aware of my shortcomings when I worry about my provisions for tomorrow. In this, I'm no better than the grumbling and complaining Hebrew people. In these moments, I am the one that feels enslaved. We arrive to Matthew's gospel of the parable of the vineyard worker. Anytime I read this parable, I think about my concept of justice, about what is fair and what I think I deserve in the world. I knew a deacon who told this story. He had 8 children. When he grew weary of playing the part of arbitrator and deciding who would get what piece of pie, and then to hear the bickering about whose piece was bigger, he came upon this plan. He designated one of the children to cut the pie, and then let another child pick a piece. Never has pie cutting reached such mathematical precision, with a scoop of sibling rivalry on top. Yet, the metaphor of my piece of pie seems to resonate for us today in the reading. The Hebrew people describe the firstborn of those most entitled to the gift of God's gracious abundance. Ironic in that it was disbelieved on the desert journey. The owner of the vineyard in today's reading asked the question of the disgruntled workers, "My friends, am I not able to do what I please with my money, with my abundance?" This morning I offer to you a story of abundance that celebrates its 30th anniversary this summer. It is my hope you will find in this story as much a story of love and abundance as I. In 1990, I worked in downtown Buffalo at a bookstore in the business district. The Western New York area is homeland for me, and Buffalo has this reputation of having 2 seasons. It has winter and 4th of July. So when the weather is beautiful and people can finally be outdoors and enjoy nice weather, they're out in droves. So on this particular beautiful summer day, there were many business people outdoors in a plaza. It was M&T Plaza. There were many big sweeping steps that would lead to office buildings, but largely a very open space with benches, and there were trash cans about, as people would be frequently having lunch there when the weather was nice, and they would set up farm tables for farm markets and music venues on Friday evenings and things like that. So I had joined the group outdoors on this particularly beautiful day with my lunch sack, and was sitting on the bench on the stairs to one of the buildings, when pretty high up, maybe 5 or 6 steps up, as I watched the event occur. So there was a woman who walked by. And in typical 1990 style, she had a bright pink suit on with a frilly white blouse, something that she perhaps bought for Easter Sunday, white pumps, and she had very perm blonde hair with a big flip-up bang. And she had just taken her last swallow of her soda, and was moving quite quickly in her heels toward the trash can where she was getting ready to toss her can with a flip to the side. Now, at that time, a soda can or a bottle was worth 5 cents as a deposit if you returned it to the store. But she clearly couldn't be bothered. So she flipped the can into the trash, and off she went. Well, not only did I notice her doing this, but two homeless men noticed her doing this. And they each approached the trash, dragging behind them their own collected cans in large black bags. And they moved closer and closer to the can, noticing each other and moving in increments toward the trash can. And they both arrive to the can, and they're looking at each other. One man reaches into the trash to grab out the can, and he extends it across the can to the other man. And they both smiled these enormous smiles of joy. The one man came around the trash can, they linked arms, and they walked away, dragging their bags behind them. Occasionally, I will have someone ask me about my call to ministry and how I arrived to this point. Sometimes I also hear, "I think I would believe in God if I just only had a sign." The Hebrew people were witness to the parting of the sea, the cloud that led them, many other things, and yet they still asked for signs and asking for food which then dropped from heaven. Just as the grace that I witnessed between the two men on the occasion, the signs are here, and in this case, the sign of a soda can. God's grace and generosity extended past the two men all the way down from 30 years. It is imprinted in me. I also connect the dots to the poor old woman putting her widow's mite in the cup. To me, the story represents these things: a living gospel message in the widow's mite represented in an aluminum can, a can so easily discarded by someone who saw no worth in it, someone perhaps so entitled that she couldn't be bothered to return the can to the store herself, providing a message that she herself was above the need for 5 cents and would just as soon see the can in the landfill. 5 cents meant something to a person with a life on the street. Yet her discarding it turned out to mean so very much more. God took a throwaway moment and made it into something grand and beautiful for the men, for me, and for us. The abundance of God's grace that allowed me to witness this beautiful event, knowing that one day I would be sharing it with you on my road to ordained ministry, hoping the story told in our current times would resonate with you in the message how love can be a power to advent change, that love prevails and is timeless. It's also a visible sign of God at work in the world, represented in what it means to love one another as we are all so very loved.